For Parshas Lech Lecha, the Parsha that introduces Avraham Avinu, what's intriguing, and I think is very fundamental, very important for us, is to understand Avraham Avinu. Who was he? We know that we are his descendants. We start Shmon Esrei with the bracha that ends Magen Avraham. We are, in a sense, an embodiment, an extension of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is not just one individual. He's the father of our nation. We don't call him Avraham. We call him Avraham Avinu, just like a father injects into his children a certain legacy. And it's not just physical. It's a spiritual legacy. So to Avraham projects throughout history a legacy, not just for our people and our nation. He's Av Hamon Goyim. I'd like to divide Avram's life into segments. The first years of his life, when he's brought up in a house of idolatry, he's living, in a sense, an unsatisfied existence. He questions, where did this all come from? Was it always here? And it takes him, according to the Rambam, until he's 48 years old, when he finally discovers God. Where does he discover God? How? In the history of philosophy, we have many different methods or many different approaches to how to prove God's existence. One of them is called the cosmological proof for the existence of God. Cosmological from the word cosmos. And Chazal describe Avraham Avinu as the man who searches in the cosmos. He's looking in the heavens. And he finds in the beautiful nebulae, in the endless stars and galaxies, a created world. And the world is organized. There's a beauty to it. There's a system to it. And in that system, Avraham Avinu discovers God. Behind everything, up in the spheres above, there is a creator. There is a master of the universe. This is the first period of Avraham Avinu's life. But Avraham Avinu, despite the fact that throughout all those decades of searching, he finally came to the conclusion, discovering God, as it were, nevertheless, he's still unsatisfied. He still feels that he's missing a personal relationship with the Almighty. He may have philosophically come to the conclusion and even prove that God exists. He may have engaged those of his generation with a dialogue and a back and forth, confronting them with arguments to try to prove the existence of God. But he was missing something. His existence was still unredeemed. And the Rambam continues and tells us that many, many decades are going to pass before Avraham Avinu is encountered by God himself. At the age of 75, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham Lech Lecha, God appears to Abraham, confirming Abraham's belief. But it's much more than just a confirmation. I don't believe that Avraham Avinu, with his faith in God, needed confirmation. But what he needed was a personal relationship, what we call a face-to-face encounter with the Almighty. And imagine how many years and how many decades it would take until finally, at the ripe old age of 75, he would have that experience, that encounter, when Hashem tells him, Lech Lecha. Perhaps you're familiar with my essay, The Lonely Man of Faith. I have a whole section there about Avraham Avinu, the Knight of Faith. He is the person who comes to faith on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, has an encounter with God and sees miracles upon miracles. Nowhere do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was seeking out and trying to prove God, but the search, that long, long journey, that tedious climb, that's Avraham Avinu's essence, and that is his unique personality. The word Vayomer, which is the opening word in our parasha, always indicates soft speech. There's another word called Vayedaber, and in conscious Chazal identified Dibur as harsh speech. The Amira represents a kind of reaching out to someone, almost a friendship, an embrace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram as a friend, as a companion. After all these many, many decades in which Avram longed for that personal relationship, Hashem appears to him with the word Vayomer. And in between the lines, I believe, of the script of the Torah is a calling out on the part of the Almighty, the Divine Being, to Avraham Avinu. And in that call, Avraham Avinu hears the word of God, that soft, friendly word of God, saying to him, Avraham, you're living a lonely existence. I too, Kaviyachol, am living a lonely existence. The world has forsaken me, has rejected me. Instead of being loyal, they, like a wife who goes ahead and has another relationship, they have relationships with idols. I too need a companion. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, Lech Lech. Rashi comments on the words Lech Lecha, and he says Lech Lecha L'Tovascha. Why? What is this L'Tovascha? Here in Urkazdin, in Charan, in the Mesopotamia, you will not have children. It's absolutely amazing, fantastic. Look at the history of the mothers of our mothers. One after the other is barren and childless until an older age. But Hashem says to Avram, as long as you remain here, you will not be appreciated, but moreover, it's for your benefit. Not just am I placing on your shoulders a massive mission of great significance that can only be achieved if you uproot yourself and you reestablish yourself in the land of Canaan, but moreover, there's something for you in it. It's not just for me. It's not just that you are my emissary and you are trying to reveal my glory and convey the belief in God to the world. Yes, that's primary. But know that you will be the father of a great nation, but not here, only there, in Eretz Canaan. And in truth, there was no possibility of Avram becoming a father to Yitzchak in Chutzlarts. It had to happen in Eretz Yisrael. And I would add, perhaps, if I can, another angle, another twist, perhaps, on the Lech Lecha idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avram that it's not just Lech. If it was just one Lech, that would be understood. But it's Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha means, don't just go on a journey. You know, today, people visit all sorts of countries on the face of the globe. But these are temporary visits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Lecha. This is going to be with permanence. You are now uprooting yourself from different places on the face of the globe. Now you will establish yourself forever in Eretz Canaan. Avraham Avinu understands that it's going to be a long, tedious journey to get to the land of Israel. He understands that for him and his descendants to establish a permanent domicile in the land, that's going to be a great challenge. It's not going to happen overnight. Avraham Avinu's life is a long string of climbs, of overcoming challenges. Chazal identify Eser of 10 Nisyonos, 10 trials and tribulations. Nothing in Avraham Avinu's life comes easy. In fact, as we'll soon see, as soon as he lands in the land of Israel, immediately he's struck with another catastrophe of a famine that threatens him and his family. Nothing goes smoothly, and Avraham Avinu realizes it. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Lecha. Your ultimate destiny is in the land. Outside of the land, Avraham Avinu, you may be an important member of the world community, but that's not ultimately where your yi'ud, your destiny, is going to lie. It's in an inextricable, absolute, infinite connection to the land. And that's Lech Lecha. And perhaps Lech Lecha means go with an extra energy for us. You know, Avraham Avinu is a little bit afraid and apprehensive to leave his family environment. Every human being is afraid to uproot themselves from the society in which they were brought up. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Lecha, a double Lech Lecha. Go with a certain passion, with a certain urgency, a certain excitement. Because that's going to be your destiny in the land of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, was telling Avraham Avinu to emigrate from his homeland to reestablish himself in the land of Israel on a permanent basis. And God meant for him to emigrate into a new country, and there he would establish himself. Lech Lecha. Lecha also means alone. You will be alone on this journey. You will face many challenges from the people. The people around you will very often make fun of you. They'll reject your teachings. It's not an easy task to uplift communities upon communities that are steeped in idol worship. As we go through Parashas Lech Lecha, we're going to see a recurring theme that revolves around the Mizbeach. Over and over again, wherever Avram lands, he always builds an altar. But never does the Torah tell us that he sacrificed any korban on those Mizbechos, on those altars. And in truth, those sections of Parshas Lech Lecha that deal with Avram's altars really reveal to us what was the mission of Avram. What was the journey of Avram? Every place that he came to, he tried to spread the belief in God. He tried to uplift the people to a state of morality. When he built an altar, the Torah always says, Vayikra b'shem Hashem. He called out in the name of God. The altar for Avram was really a place, a location, into which people would gravitate to hear Avram's teachings. And as we'll see, the Torah testifies, HaNefesh asher asu, that Avram Avinu takes sorrow along with him. And the two of them together as a partnership, facing, as it were, all these great challenges, will call out in the name of God. The Rambam, getting back to him, describes the myriad of Talmidim, of disciples of Avram. We're not sure what happened to them. But we do know that Avram was a charismatic personality. An individual had a tremendous calling, a tremendous teaching, and an unbelievable impact on his generation. In contrast to last week's discussion that we had about Parshas Noach, in a sense, was a failure because he was totally cut off from his generation. When he built the Mizbeach, Noach brought Karbonos on the Mizbeach, and that was a great Reach Nichoach. It was a profound expression of gratitude, but it was a reflection of a personal relationship between Noach and the Almighty. Not so in the case of Avram. Avram Avinu picks up where Noach failed, and Avram Avinu's test in location after location is to try to see if he can uplift the people around him and impact upon them. It's fascinating to note that the Torah says, Lech Lecha meaning that I, Almighty God, live in the clouds up in the heavens. Nature, which is God's creation, is essentially an expression of these clouds. I don't mean clouds physically, I mean them metaphorically. These clouds obstruct the vision of man to see God. Instead of seeing behind nature, Hashamayim Misafrim, the hand of God, instead of realizing and appreciating that in every encounter with nature, we have an encounter with the Shekhinah, nature serves to conceal God's existence. To the scientist, nature is meant to be transformed into mathematical figures and calculations. To biochemical phenomenon. For the warrior, the success at battle is just a function of how many nuclear weapons he has or how great his army is. Nature conceals God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Lech Lecha, your task is to disperse the clouds, is to convey and teach that behind those clouds, I, Almighty God, shine in a radiant glory. Although we encounter Shekhinah on a daily basis, yet it's like the Pasuk describes at the time, right before our Sinai, Av Ha'anan, God appears in a thick cloud. He is close to us, but we don't sense Him as being close to us. And here, the manifestation of nature for man is just a concealment of God, and Avram Avinu is called upon to dispense all that obscurity, to remove the cloud and disperse it, in order to reveal the Almighty God, who's behind the cloud. Perhaps the message of Lech Lecha is the message of every Navi and the essence of every prophet throughout Jewish history. The prophet is a nomad, traveling, as it were, from town to town, village to village, to convey the word of God. Avram Avinu becomes the paradigm of a Navi. He too is Lech Lecha. He is called upon to uproot himself, reestablish himself over and over again like a pattern, in order to be a Korei B'Shem Hashem, in order to continually move from place to place and convey the message that beyond the clouds is the Almighty God. Lech Lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha u'mibeis avicha. Let me call your attention to the phrase mibeis avicha. Every child is related and connected to his father both biologically and in many, many other ways. He's a product of his child. Chazal speak about Beno Karadavuadinu. He's an extension of his father. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avram, your case is radically different. You will alienate yourself from Beis Avicha. You will cut off the relationship with Beis Avicha. You, like a convert, will be a cotton shenola dummy. You may have biological connections to your father, but that's about it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Mibeis Avicha, to the extent to which your birthplace determines your nature, your behavior patterns, I call on you, I demand of you to depart from your father's house, to leave behind that relationship, and to create a brand new father relationship in which Avram Avinu becomes the father in the spiritual sense, teaching, as it were, his disciples, HaNefesh Asher Osu. Avram Avinu now becomes obligated in the task of becoming a new kind of a father. Not a biological father. A new concept of fatherhood that's predicated on a fellowship that goes way beyond biological factors. It's a parent-teacher relationship. It's a child-father relationship. A child-disciple relationship, in which Avram Avinu's connection to the people is going to be one of recreating them, of impacting on their very spiritual essences, their belief in one God, and in justice and morality. Avram Avinu had to not only transplant himself physically from Beis Avicha, but in essence, he had to forsake his past. Avram Avinu later on, in Perek Yudalid, we'll see it soon, is called Avram HaIvri. And we, the Jewish people, are called Ivrim, Hebrews. In the Soviet Union of then, every Jew had to have on his passport, it was imprinted the word Ibrei, a Hebrew, Avram HaIvri. Chazal say, Ivri means Hu Mi'ever Echad V'Kola Olam Kula Mi'ever Sheni. Avram Avinu alienates himself from the entire world, forsakes his own home, his birthplace, his father's house, and now he becomes a wanderer. And as a nomad, his job is to convert the people, to create a new father-son relationship, and then to create a covenantal community, a community that is connected with Almighty God. And where will you go, Avram Avinu? Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha mibeis avicha la'aretz asher eka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reveal the place to Avram Avinu. It's incumbent upon Avram Avinu to find the place. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect that Avram Avinu will locate the right place? And the answer is, this is a great test, Avram. Avram Avinu, and this is his legacy to us, has a sixth sense. We have five senses. Avram Avinu had a sixth, which he actually bequeathed to us. And that's a sense of holiness. To appreciate and to be sensitive to that which is Kadosh. Avram Avinu is called upon here at the beginning of the parsha to find the place Asher Erecha, and at the end of the parsha. Actually, not in this parsha, but next parsha. Again, Kachlo es bincha, es yichidcha, el oretz Asher Erecha. Once again, just as in the Lech Lecha here, Hashem does not reveal the place, so too at the Akedah, Avram Avinu is called upon to sense where that place is. And only when he arrives at the place, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear to him and confirm that indeed he found the right place. A Jew has to have this sixth sense, a natural intuition, a gravitational pull to Kedusha. Why is it that a Jew begins Shabbos early and ends Shabbos late? Tosefta Shabbos at the beginning and at the end. Because a Jew longs for Kedusha. He's hungry, he's thirsty for an atmosphere of Kedusha, for a life of Kedusha. And so, Avram Avinu becomes the beam of light. Chazal always compare Avram Avinu to the light. The light that will shine and reveal Kedusha, reveal sanctity. David HaMelech describes how his soul longs for you. And he describes it in Tehillim as a deer that longs for brooks of water. A deer almost has a natural, intuitive, gravitational pull to water. And so too, says David, in my search for you, O God, my soul longs for you and finds you. Nowhere does the Torah indicate that it was revealed to David HaMelech where the Makom HaMikdash was. And yet David HaMelech describes the Makom HaMikdash. He doesn't build the Mikdash, but he locates it. He purchases the land so that his son Shlomo HaMelech could build the Mikdash. And this is the calling of a Jew, to be like a deer that's driven instinctually towards the brook of water, we are drawn instinctually, like Avram Avinu, El Ha'aretz Asher Arek. And only when we discover the place, then we'll get the divine confirmation that indeed we were successful and we located the place. What's going to happen to Avram Avinu? Pasuk Beis in our parasha. V'escha l'goy gadol v'avarechecha v'agadla shemecha v'yei bracha. What is this v'agadla shemecha? I will aggrandize your name. Avram is not only the father of the Jewish people, he's also the father of a methodology. He develops a method of how to discover God, how to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how to have that close friendship, relationship, companionship with God. His entire methodology is transmitted to his son Yitzchak, and from Yitzchak to Yaakov Avinu, and on throughout the generations. That's Ve'agadlo Shemecha. The Rishon of the Balei Tosfos write about Rashi, that although each and every one of us, says the Balei Tosfos, has our own unique methodology in understanding the Torah, we all stand on the shoulders of Rashi. And so too the Ramban says he has his own methodology, but he develops the methodology of his forebears. So too, Yitzchak has his own method, Yaakov has his own method, all of the Shvatim, but they all are standing on the shoulders of Avram Avinu. They are developing Avram Avinu's methodology, his understanding of the Almighty. Ve'yei bracha. What tenderness is God as a friend reaching out to Avram. Ve'yei bracha, you shall be a blessing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Avram Avinu, it's not in that voice of commanding, of authority, but we are wanderers together. You are my partner, Avram Avinu, Hashem says. Ve'yei bracha. And this bracha is going to spread on all of mankind. It starts with one individual, with Avram, and like a stone in a river, it has ripple effects. Ve'yei bracha. You will bring the blessing to your generation. V'nivrechu b'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama. Hashem promises that in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed, and they shall be blessed in you. And Chazal say that where do we find that there's a relationship between the nations of the world and Avram and his descendants? Chazal the Medrash say, Lavrich Bach, I have two shoots that I want to graft onto you. They come from other nations. Grafting is a basic method of agricultural development, and Hashem promises that there will be a grafting from other nations onto Avram and his descendants. And who is that? Rus HaMoaviah V'Na'amah HaAmonis. Imagine, these are descendants of Lot, and we're going to have a lot to talk about if we have time about Lot and his relationship to Avram Avinu. And basically, the entire base David comes from and through these two women. One who belongs to Moav, another is a daughter to Ammon, who developed from the daughters of Lot. The Mashiach himself will be a descendant of these two women. The Nivruchu Becha Kol Mishpachos Adama. Through you, by attaching to you, there will be a tremendous blessing. And indeed, David HaMelech is the descendant of Rus and Rechavam, who's also the father of Mashiach, in a later generation is a descendant of Naamah. And the Pasuk tells us that the first individual with whom Avram Avinu successfully passes on the legacy is Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Elov Hashem Vayelech Ito Lot, is Lot himself. Lot is a very complex personality. He's the son of Haran. The Torah has already testified at the end of Noach that Haran died, and he left Lot behind. Apparently Terach, the father of Haran, the grandfather of Lot, adopted Lot almost like a son after the death of Haran. But at some point, Lot decided to attach himself to Avram, to his uncle, rather than to his grandfather, Terach. Apparently, Lot appreciated that Avram was a charismatic personality. Lot was fascinated by Avram. Vayelech ito Lot. Lot attaches himself to Avram. Lot never really understood, on a deep level, the new outlook and the deep message of Avram Avinu. But yet, he felt some sort of connection to Avram, perhaps even beyond the familiar, the family connection. And in effect, perhaps because Lot sensed the Kedusha, the greatness of Uncle Avram, maybe that's why his daughters, the Bnos Lot, would be the mothers of Mashiach. And what do they take along with them besides Lot? It says, "Va'nefesh asher osu b'chara." The Rambam describes the myriads, the thousands, tens of thousands of disciples of Avram. At this point in the life and the history of Avram, we could say Avram is a great success. He's got thousands upon thousands of disciples. And this happens at an older age, because it was only when he was 48 that he came to believe in one God and begin to profess his belief. No doubt that people inquired derisively of Avram, "Where is your God? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever communicated with him?" And it's only at this point, at the beginning of Lech Lecha, that Avram reaches the apex, the culmination of his search for God, when God, as a friend, as a companion, reveals himself to Avram. And only at this point does Avram have a true miracle that could prove God's existence. But now, Avram Avinu plays a major role. And we identify Avram Avinu's role as teaching monotheism, the belief in one God. God is the omnipotent God. He is the God of infinity, omnipresent. But that's not, in truth, the greatness of Avram. Avram's teaching goes way beyond establishing God as the infinite being and even as the creator. Avram Avinu adds another critical element into the equation. He teaches man that God is not somewhere up in the heavens, that God is right here on earth, that God can be encountered in every experience, that the Shekhinah is here. And God is called by Avram Avinu, as we'll soon see, Adonai. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, in the name of Shin Bar Yochai, no one until Avram had called Hashem Adonai. Master of the universe. God is not just the creator. God is not just the infinite being that hides behind the clouds. God has direct providence over the earth. He is the Adon Kol. He is the master. He is the sovereign ruler. He is the Melech al Kol Haaretz. This was the greatness of Avram and his message, his legacy to his generation. It's very fascinating that when Chazal wanted to describe a convert, and of course, Hanefesh Asher Osu Becharon, the myriad of converts of Avram and Sori, they always use the phrase listofev tachas kanfe ashkina, as if to say to be in the wings and the shade of those wings of the heavenly creator. The concept of shade can be understood in two directions. Shade could mean darkness, something that blocks out the light of the sun. But shade means much more than that. Shade means protection. Shade means a sense of calm, comfort, of solace, of necham. A person who does not believe in God, a person who alienates God from his life, constantly feels a sense of emptiness, of alienation, and perhaps of insecurity. But when an individual converts to Judaism, he now has the benefit of complete security of peace, a sense of harmony and serenity. And that's something that you could only find in a cool place which protects you. A Shechina with large wings that casts a shade of restfulness, of security, of peace, of being rooted and anchored. That's what Avraham Avinu was able to do. And where does Avraham Avinu go? Of course, he finds the place. As the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Hey, Vayikach Avram is Sarai Ishto. So fascinating, the word Sarai means my master. In a certain sense, as we'll discuss later, Sarai is the master of Avram Avinu. Later on, when she gets to Egypt, they call her Isha. They don't even call her by a name. And as Lot ben Achiv, there's a familial relationship between Lot and his uncle Avram, Lotus ben Achiv, es kol rechu sham asher achashu. And I tend to believe that this pasuk of rechu sham is probably an allusion to another pasuk, the achakach yetzu berchush gadol, regarding the exodus from Egypt, which Chazal understand that the rechush gadol is not just the booty and the finances and the monies, the gold that they took, it means much more than that. This pasuk stands in very sharp contrast to the pasuk at the end of Parshas Noach, which says, "Vayetu lo leches artzakanan, vayavo ad choron vayeshu shon." That journey was initiated by Terah. He ran away from the possibility of persecution at the hands of Nimrod after the Maisa of Avram at the Kivshan Eish. He was running away as a refugee. His goal, as the Torah describes it, was to reach Eretz Canaan. But he never got to Eretz Canaan. Vayavo ad Charon vayeshvu sham. And that's where Terach and his entourage remained. But Avram Avinu is called upon to find Ha'eretz Ha'aretz Ha'areka. And therefore, Vayetsu lo leches Arzo Kanan, Vayavo Arzo Kanan. And where? Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Makom Shechem. Rashi says that Ad Makom Shechem lispalel al bnei Yaakov. The descendants of Yaakov would be fighting a battle, a dangerous battle against Shechem. And Avram Avinu wants to be mispalel for his descendants to successfully defeat the adversaries in Shechem. But I would add perhaps another twist. If the only interest here is a location, why is the pasuk say Makom Shechem? But the answer, I believe, lies in Chazal. Chazal always says, Vayifka b'mokom. Mokom means a place of tefillah, a location that's designated for prayer. That's where Avram gravitates, to a place for prayer. Why Shechem? In order to pray on behalf of his descendants that they should successfully triumph in the combat at Shechem. But the Torah describes the place in greater detail. Ad Elon Moreh. Rashi identifies Elon Moreh, and Shechem is places near Har Gerizim and Har Ephol. That's where the Jewish people would take an oath in which there are blessings and there are curses. Hashem guides Avram Avinu to a place where Avram could pray on behalf of his descendants who will accept the curses and the brachos at Har Gerizim Har Ephol. And Avram Avinu is praying on behalf of his descendants that when they take the oath at Har Gerizim and Har Ephol, Hashem should give them the wisdom, the insight, and the fortitude to successfully achieve those blessings. But here, once again, despite Avram's success, there's a great challenge. Vaknani oz ba'aretz. Rashi says, Haknani oz ba'aretz, hoyaholech v'kovesh es Eretz Yisrael. Mizaro shel shem. Could you imagine what thoughts must have crossed Avram's mind when he realized that he was being sent to Canaan to establish a nation, and yet Eretz Canaan is being conquered by the idol worshippers that are conquering Eretz Yisrael from the descendants of Shem? And no doubt Avram Avinu would have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, if you're giving me the land, why are the Canaanim conquering this land? It makes no sense. You're sending the descendants of Shem into a situation of humiliation, of being conquered. But Avram Avinu never asks the question, because he's the knight of faith. He accepts God's will, even when it defies rational explanation. He continues in his way into Canaan, almost oblivious to the fact that the Canaanim had conquered the land from the Bnei Shem. And the first thing he does, as the Torah testifies, is Vayiven Sham Mizbeach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now appears to Avram, and Vayera Hashem el Avram, Vayomer Lizaracha Atein Es Haaretz Hazos, to your children I will give this land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that there's a divine promise, the land will be granted as an eternal gift to your descendants. And Avram builds an altar. And as we said at the outset, this is another expression of Avram calling out to the people and asking them and teaching them to appreciate the endless bounty and the gifts that God has bestowed upon them. The Mizbeach symbolizes Mesiras Nefesh, sacrifice. And Avram Avinu realizes that by building a Mizbeach, he is conveying and personifying the message that to deliver and transmit the word of God is not an easy task. It requires great self-sacrifice. Sometimes, even the greatest of sacrifices, the human sacrifice. Lashem hanir'eh elav. What does it mean to the God that has appeared to him? Why add those words, Hanireh Elav? It could have just said, Vayera Hashem El Avram. Why Lashem Hanireh Elav? Three words that seem at the face of it to be totally superfluous and unnecessary. In order to answer this question, perhaps we can raise another question. We said Ela Artashar Eka, God did not reveal the place. Avram Avinu was called upon to discover the place. Lashem Hanirei Love. This is the place, God tells him. I'm here to appear to you because I want to confirm that indeed you found the right place. You have searched for the promised land and you have found it. God was confirming Avram Avinu's choice that this was the land. By appearing to Avram Avinu, he basically told him that you have achieved exactly what I wanted you to achieve, to develop that sixth sense to identify a holy place. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Avraham Avinu was searching for God, and now God had reached out to him, and now it's worthy that if Hashem is Nira Elav, Avraham Avinu should build a Mizbeach. Avraham Avinu, the lonely man of faith, now reaches out to the people. And this is his, what we call in modern Hebrew, Misimah, his task, his mission in life. But there's one disappointment, and that is Vayatak misham ahara, pasuk ches, and ha'ai mikedem, I was to his east. Rashi immediately comments that why was Avram Avinu in Ai? And Rashi says that Ai is a location which connects to a sad future event that's going to happen when Yeshua crosses the Jordan, and after winning successfully the first battle, loses the second battle at the city of Ai. But nowhere does Rashi indicate that Avraham Avinu prayed on behalf of his descendants at Ai. Rashi does indicate that with regard to Shechem, but not with regard to Ai. And perhaps we could suggest that Avraham Avinu did not pray because he felt that that defeat at Ai was a very, very critical message for Klal Yisrael. The Jewish community, as a covenantal one, is dedicated to God, but also dedicated to a unity and a mutual responsibility of one for the other. What happened at Ai, and why did we lose the battle? The Psukim tell us in Sefer Yoshua that there was an Isser, a prohibition of taking booty from the nations that occupied Canaan. And a person by the name of Achan violated that prohibition, and he took the booty. No one else apparently joined him and violated this cherem, but nevertheless, the punishment was meted out to the community, and the Battle of Ai was lost. The message here is Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevzeh. We are all inextricably connected. We are all responsible, one for the other. Avraham Avinu felt that the defeat of Ai was something that the Jewish people deserved, and it's a message for all of eternity for the community of Israel. Every individual must understand that he is part of a community, he's responsible for the community, and therefore Avraham Avinu chose not to intercede on behalf of the nation. The pasuk goes on to tell us about the journey of Avram. Pasuk tes. Vayisa Avram haloch v'nasoa hanegba. It would have made more sense for Avram to remain in the north. After all, Avram needed an agricultural fertile land, and in the north there was plenty of grazing area for his flock. But somehow, for some unknown reason, Avraham Avinu is moving Hanegba, traveling towards the south. And I would suggest that once again, Avraham is indicating his intuitive sixth sense to find Kiddusha. Because in the south, he will find Yerushalayim, the holiest of all cities. It's the Kiddusha of Yerushalayim that pulls Avraham Avinu towards the south. There are no economic reasons or justifications. And now Avraham Avinu faces the next challenge in his life. He has shortly arrived in the land Vayira of Baretz. Avraham Avinu is compelled to leave the land that he just entered into. He was sent to the land Asher Areka. He discovered the land. God had confirmed that he had found the right land. And immediately he has to go to Mitzrayim. On the one hand, Mitzrayim is a very exciting place. Fascinating. In its time, Mitzrayim was the most advanced culture technologically. No doubt that Avraham Avinu was curious, as anyone would be, to see the land of Mitzrayim. But yet, he resists it. Avraham Avinu only goes down to Mitzrayim when it's absolutely critical. He has no choice. Why does Hashem test him in that way? If we can answer by suggesting a theory as to why Hashem wanted Avraham Avinu to experience Mitzrayim, and later on, the Shvatim will experience Mitzrayim. In fact, Yaakov Avinu would also have to experience Charan. All these are examples in which God wants the Jewish people to realize that even in exile, and even in the finest, most developed countries, and sophisticated nationalities and cultures, you are called upon, as a Jew, to remain sturdy, steadfast, and absolutely dedicated with your commitment to your belief, to your morality. You will enter into Egypt, and you will see Avraham Avinu, what you think is the most fascinating culture on the face of the earth, and to your dismay, you're going to find that it's an immoral society. Avraham Avinu, no doubt, had great hopes that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through this famine, had sent him down to Mitzrayim, there he would fulfill his great mission to again transmit the belief in God in a higher level of morality and goodness and righteousness to the people of Mitzrayim. But Avraham Avinu faces a very cold and harsh disappointment, a failure, that despite his powerful spirituality, Avraham Avinu is not successful in the land of Mitzrayim. With all due respect to his charisma, which was tested over and over again, he could not succeed. But nevertheless, he remained steadfast and sturdy in his commitment to his mission. And this is myself, Asim Labanim. This is meant to inject into his descendants a legacy that despite all the exiles, and sometimes the Jew finds himself in the most wonderful, dazzling exiles, don't be fooled, because you will be disappointed when you reveal the immorality of those countries, of those nations. But you will remain steadfast as Avraham Avinu was, as Yosef was during his years, when he reaches the epitome of being viceroy of Mitzrayim, and yet he is absolutely dedicated. He is not corrupted or influenced by riches, by power, dedicated as it were to Almighty God. Vayiru ha-mitzrim es ha-isha. Notice that over and over again they call her ha-isha. To the Mitzrim, she's a physical woman, very attractive. That's all they see in her. Avraham Avinu sees in her Sarai. She's a princess. And Avraham Avinu is going to join in a partnership with her to create a covenantal community in which they will impact upon myriads of people. Avraham Avinu will accept her prophetic word even when he disagrees. She is Sarai, not just an Isha. I would like to, at this point, speak to you a little bit about Lot. If you will, take a look at what happens to Avram and Lot in their relationship after the Mitzrayim experience. Immediately at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Vayal Avram in Mitzrayim, Huvishto v'chol asher lo v'lot imo hanegba. Notice, it's no longer Vayelech ito Lot. Ito means a connection in which Lot, the nephew, wants a relationship with his uncle. But rather, Lot imo. Lot is sort of schlepped along. Imo is just a physical accompaniment, not in a spiritual sense. The relationship between Avram and Lot has changed in a very fundamental way. And it all happens in Mitzrayim. Where Avram Avinu understood that Mitzrayim, with all its dazzling colors, its material culture, with its being the advanced culture, both technologically and scientifically, yet Avram Avinu understood that underneath it all, it was a sick, immoral society. Lot, on the other hand, was overwhelmed by the dazzling civilization of Mitzrayim. He was impressed by the material externalities of Mitzrayim. And he begins to realize that his uncle, with all due respect, is calling upon man to live a different kind of life, a life that's fraught with difficulties, challenges, stones, and barriers along the way. And Lot is impressed with Mitzrayim. Very shortly, Avram and Lot will part ways. And Lot's true colors now shine forth when he chooses Kikar, the beautiful lands of stone. Lot is very aware of the influence of stone, yet he chooses to live in that environment and raise his family there. No doubt that this experience, this moment, this incident was a second defeat in Avram's mission. He was defeated in Mitzrayim, and now he was defeated with his very first student, Lot. And yet, despite the fact that Lot sharply disagrees with his uncle, he's no longer interested in going with his uncle on that mission, he's poresh, he separates himself. Nevertheless, in the story that we're about to encounter of the war between the four kings and the five, Avram Avinu will go to battle in order to save Lot. The Torah even calls Lot Achiv, his brother. Because Avram Avinu has a commitment to flesh and blood, to his own brother. And perhaps Avram Avinu is still holding on to a glimmer of hope that perhaps his original student of Lot would return to the fold. But the Torah describes in Pasuk Vav here at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Lo Nasau Sam Ha'aretz L'Sheves Yachdov, the land did not bear them to dwell together. And now there's a feud between Avram and Lot, and that's going to spill over to the Roe Lot and the Roe Avram. Lot wants more money, wants more land. And surely there was enough for sale. The trouble was that they couldn't live together spiritually. That Lot had lost all his respect and his admiration for his uncle. The experience of Mitzrayim had undermined that harmony between the uncle and the nephew. And so, in Pasuk, where is it? Pasuk Ches, Vayomar Avram el Lot, Al no tehi meriva beini uveinecha ubein ro'i ve'o'ai ubein ro'echa ki anoshim anachnu achim anachnu. One gets the sense that Avram Avinu is very concerned about Chil Hashem. He is his first student in a quarrel. And it's getting public in nature. You know, it's reaching to the level of the shepherds, the Roe Lot, and the Roe Avram. Let's keep this quiet, says Avram Avinu. Let's not quarrel about this publicly. Meriva, Alna tehi meriva. Meriva means hatred. It indicates complete alienation and resentment. Something had changed in the relationship between Avram and Lot, and the shepherds felt it. They knew something was awry. And the Torah then describes Vayivchar lo Lot as kol kikar yardin. The word Vayivchar is very fascinating. Bechira implies a priority over other possible choices. And in this case, Lot finds his priority in Sdom. He understood that the life of Avram was a life of dedication, a life of sacrifice, of mizbeach, of hardship. And Lot declares, I want a different kind of life. I don't want any part of Avram. I want Sdom. Lot proves his colors. Had he been an ethical personality, he certainly would have found that Sdom is the last place on earth for him to settle. And immediately, Hashem comes to Avram after he parried Lot. Rashi talks about the fact that Kol Zman Sharosha Imo Hayadibu Porish Mimen. But maybe on a deeper level, Hashem sensed that Avram felt that he was defeated. And he came to Avram, appeared to him with words of solace and with a divine promise. Sona inecho re'ei min amokam asher atasham tzofona negva kadma v'yoma ki eskola aretz asher ata ro'eh lecha atneno ulezarech. Interesting. He starts with saying, ki es kol haaretz, for all the land, the sharata roi that you see, lechat nena, I will give it to you, ulezarecha. And the emphasis here is perhaps on zarecha. Avram Avinu actually never took possession over the land. But Hashem promises that lezarecha, that your children will inherit the land. Three times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises over and over and over again that he will give the land to Avram Avinu and to his descendants. Why three times? Chazal speak about the fact that we were sent into Golus at the time of the first Churban, and again we came back and established the second Commonwealth, built the second Mikdash, and again the Mikdash was destroyed and the people were sent into exile. When the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were threatening to reach Palestine towards the end of the war, the Jews in Palestine were afraid that this might, chas v'shalom, be a third destruction. And I remember that the chief rabbi at that time, Herzog, Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi Herzog, said, no, there'll never be a third Churban, because the third promise to Avram was the final absolute promise. Once the land has been settled, at the time of the modern movement of Avas Tzion, that will indicate the final, irreversible and eternal connection between the people of Israel and the land. Hashem says, Lecha etneno ulezarecha. In a sense, Hashem is saying that I will give you the land, but through your children. Avram did not actually acquire the land, but hundreds of years later, his descendants at the time of Yeshua would acquire the land. And this indicates that Avram Avinu lives through the generations. He defies history because he is history. Avram Avinu lives throughout all the generations, through his descendants. The past relives itself and integrates itself with the chosen individual of each generation. Avram Avinu, in a sense, projects his existence upon a historical background for the future, to an everlasting community. He's a mystical figure. He's not confined, like natural existence, to the now. He exceeds the boundaries of every individual. The next part of Parshas Lech Lecha, which perhaps we'll have to leave for another occasion, is another story, another episode in that glorious success and triumph of Avram, when he saves Lot, and together with a massive army of 318 people, defeats five kings, the most powerful Klada Omer king in the world. And Malki Tzedek Melech Sholin comes out to greet him with a seven-piece band. And Avram reaches the climax of his career. Unfortunately, the very next episode after Malki Tzedek is what we call the Bris Bein Habasar. And just in closing, I would say the following. That the Bris Bein Habasar opens with the words, Achar Dvar Me'ile, Hoyo Dvar Hashem El Avram. Notice that Vayomer Avram, that appears at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha and reappears over and over again, is completely omitted. Instead of Vayomer, it's Dvar Hashem. And no doubt Avram Avinu sensed that this was a different chapter in his life. He had just reached the apex of his career, in which he revealed divinity to the world, successfully defeating in a miraculous way those powerful forces of the adversaries on earth. But yet, immediately following, comes the Bris Bein Habasar, and Avram Avinu is overwhelmed with fear. He realizes that the Dvar Hashem are the harsh words foretelling hundreds of years of Jewish exile, of suffering, of humiliation, of being downgraded. And Avram Avinu is overwhelmed by fear. I will leave you tonight with one question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response to Avram's being overwhelmed by fear, says to Avram, Al tira Avram, and goes on to tell him that he will have a child. Avram Avinu tries to say, well, Ben Meshek Beisi Eliezer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of cuts him off. Doesn't even give him a chance to finish his sentence. What you're saying, Avram, is preposterous. It's impossible. You will have a son. And then he takes him outside to see the stars, the beautiful stars. And my question to you is, how is this the answer to the Yira of Avram Avinu? After all, if Avram Avinu sensed what's going to come in the next few psukim, Geri Yezarecha B'Eretz Lo'lahem, the whole story of the Egla Mishuleshes, representing different aspects of the Hara of exile, and Vayered HaAyed Al HaPegorim, again, we don't have time to go into this now, but Vavadum Vinu Osamar Bami Oshana. How could the words of Hashem that Avram Avinu will father Yitzchak, how could that calm Avram Avinu down and remove his overwhelming state of fear when Hashem is now coming to reveal at the Bris Bein Habasarim the terrible Avdus and Inui that his Avram Avinu's descendants will suffer for hundreds of years? When you come up with an answer, please let me know. In the meantime, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos, Parshas Lech Lecha. We should be zocher to see all these divine promises to Avram, the father of our nation, Lezarecha Atenes, Aretz Hazos, come to fruition, and our bond and our connection to the land of Israel will allow us to be an Or LaGoyim, and that we should be able to, each in our own way, reach out, like Avram Avinu did, out of a sense of emunah, of faith, out of a commitment and a love to Almighty God. Ken Yiratzon. Amen. We'll stop here, Baruch Hashem. We were able to cover a myriad of different dimensions
of Avraham Avinu, the lonely man of faith, and his journey and his mission. Wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom.